The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
Would you open your Bibles, please, if you've got them? And if you're sitting by somebody who doesn't have a Bible, maybe you could loan it, let them be able to look on, because really the power of this time is not me. The power of this time is the Word of God, the Scriptures that we have. I'd like you to go to the book of Joshua, Old Testament, you know, Matthew, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that leads us to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5 is where I'd like us to go today. I'm only going to look at a couple of verses. I recognize today with Americo and Kathy all that was going on. It was a different type of service that was going on. So I just want to make a couple of comments about the latter part, actually, of chapter 5. You see, in chapter 5, what has already gone on is that God has miraculously brought the children of Israel across the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. Amen. God did all of that. And now they have come across. And we find the memorial stones. We talked about that last time we were together, chapter 4. In chapter 5, we find there's a series of events. There's a rite of circumcision, which was an outward symbol saying we are followers of the one true living God, and that is taking place. We find that there is a celebration of Passover, a reminder that God is the one who brought them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand, and it was good for them to be reminding themselves of that. And thirdly, they were able to be eating the produce of Canaan. Verses 11 and 12 that are there in chapter 5. All of that has taken place. Now there's something that is unique. It's included in the text, but it's not all of the children of Israel. They're waiting on their general, on their commander, on Joshua. But there's something that we're going to see throughout this book. This is a book of victory. Not just the whole Bible, but uniquely the book of Joshua, we're going to find out about victory. How do you find genuine, practical victory? And we're going to find Joshua continued to look to the Lord. He continued to want to hear what God wanted, and whatever God wanted, he would go ahead and carry out and do. Regarding crossing the Jordan, God had given instruction that the ark was to go in front, and they would step into the Jordan, and then they'd stand in the Jordan. Remember that? God gave that instruction. All they were doing was obeying. So Joshua, it's not just a matter of we're going to take this next city, Jericho. It's how. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are so capable of being able to take a good concept and mess it up. Because we think we know better. I remember early days of ministry. We're nostalgic a little bit here today. You know, being able to pray, and I would just not pray for somebody. I would pray, God, do this and this and this in their life. Like I'm instructing God? I'm telling God how to do it. You know what I've learned in 40 years of ministry? God knows what to do and doesn't need my instruction. Isn't it a shame it takes so long for some of us to pick that up? So would you learn from me? Would you learn right now? Stop trying to design and tell God what the future is. And instead, listen. Seek to hear God. And he's given us his word for that exact direction. This is Old Testament. This is an earlier time. And we find in this situation, let's just read it, starting in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. What's Joshua doing? I am so convinced Joshua is waiting on God. Lord, I believe that this is the next place you'd have us to go. The two spies came in, and Rahab was uniquely able to give us information that let us know that you're prepared. You've prepared the time and the people and all for this to go on. Lord, what would you have us to do and how? Now, he could never have designed what we're going to learn about next, of how Jericho got taken. You know that, right? But here it is before that time, and he's alone, and he's waiting, and all of a sudden, he ends up lifting up his eyes. I'm imagining that it wasn't spending all the time staring at the city, trying to look for a weak point. Some of it was spent with his head bowed, just saying, God, show yourself. Make your will clear. I desire to follow your will. You're not the author of confusion. We learn that in the New Testament and the book of 1 Corinthians. But God, what would you have me to do? You know what's sad? How few people actually ask that question. God, what do you want me to do? And we find here in the circumstance that as he is looking and praying, he lifts up his eyes and he sees someone opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, to his credit, you know, he was willing to follow the Lord and whatever I need to do. If I need to take on somebody for you, Lord, I'll do it. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? These days, it's are you with us or against us, you know? But the point of it is that question is a pretty important question, but the answer he had not anticipated. Verse 14, so he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. He doesn't say I'm on their side or your side. He said, I'm on God's side. Isn't it something? Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Can I tell you this before you answer out loud? God's not limited to being a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, for those of you that were holding on to that. You know what? He's above all of those things. Can I get an amen? You know, and it's we want him on our side. We want him on our side. That's not how it works. You need to get on his side. And what happens in the midst of this declaration that is given as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. Some people think this is an angel. I have news for you. Anytime an angel of the Lord began to be worshiped, an angel began to be worshiped, he immediately said, stop! Don't worship me. There are times in the Old Testament and in the New, where it begins to happen. We're overwhelmed by what's taking place and begin just to worship the one that is in front of us. Only God is worthy of our worship. And this has caused problems with Christianity throughout time and even back in the Old Testament, because it seems like every other group wants us to worship this or that, or you know what, there's these bumper stickers saying coexist. It's kind of like, hey, everybody's okay. What's the problem? You know what? In love, hear this. There is no one else who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. In the book of Acts, we hear this. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than who? There is no other Savior. Hear me. There's a lot of religions and there's a lot of people saying, you know, do this and do this, it'll make you feel better. But there is only one true living God. He is the Creator God. And at a point in time in history, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, he came. We think of his coming at Christmas. And we think of the reason for his coming at Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, where we are reminded that we, the Bible teaches us, are a sinful people and we cannot save ourselves. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's according to the scriptures. I'm not making that up. It's according to the Word of God. And there's so many people that don't know that. And they want you just to, you know, I tell you what, I'll give some honor to your God. You give some honor to my God. We can't do that. There is only one God. And anything else is idolatry. And one of the early things that God taught his people, and it's repeated in the New Testament, is that we are not to be idolaters. Sometimes it's following other gods. Sometimes it's having you. You become the idol. It's all about having to go through the sieve of who you are before something will happen. No, we need to be willing to submit ourselves to the one true living God. And we find in this circumstance that this individual ends up saying that I'm commander of the Lord of hosts. That's not just the armies here on earth. That's the angelic armies. That's the power of all powers. I'm the commander. And Joshua fell on his face and worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Surprised he doesn't go on and on and on and is kind of taken aback. What had he been doing? I believe he'd been asking for a word from God. And what has just taken place is an answer to his prayer. God is still hearing and prayer answering God. I believe that with all my heart. People of God, do you believe it? You could say that in church right now. But do you believe it? Because it ought to be affecting our lives as we bring before him the burdens of life and struggles, which is exactly what I believe Joshua is doing in this circumstance. You know, I came across something, just want to share it. There is a loneliness to leadership as you realize how much the decisions that you make affect the lives of others. Joshua could stand before the people and at this moment tell them whatever and they would have done it. Oh, the last thing you want to do is to lead the wrong direction. And so he's seeking the Lord in the midst of all that is here. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, you're not going to have time to get there. It just says this, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much is required. We need to pray for those who are stepping up and serving the Lord. We need to pray for the pastors. We need to pray for the leaders, for the boards. We need to pray for our missionaries. Their names and information about them is back on that wall. We need to know about them. How do we pray for them? Because they're human beings just like us. You can get discouraged. They can get discouraged. And yet the decisions that are made may affect others' lives. We need to know what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you? Because I don't want this to be a message about the Joshuas and the big leaders. They need to know this. We all need to know this. We need to understand who God is and be seeking him and his will in the midst of all that is going on. I appreciate the courage of Joshua as he was confronted with this stranger. But I want you to hear this. Christian ministry. In Christian ministry, great public victories are won in private where leaders submit to God. Leaders submit to God. We have some people out there and they want to be leaders because they think they know a lot. And maybe they are leaders in businesses that have a lot of things that are going on. A leader needs to be willing to bow the knee before God. And that is why we need to pray for those who are willing to step up and be involved in positions of leadership. Because we want to follow individuals that are following God. Isn't that what it's about? That's where our confidence begins to grow and develop as we seek the Lord, as we follow the Lord, as we see other people that are seeking the Lord in the midst of all that's going on. The power of this passage, it's only a couple of verses and we're about to finish. Joshua was reminded that he was second in command. Do you hear that? And I want you to know, every father, every mother, every pastor, every Christian leader, if they want to be of any benefit to God, need to know they're second in command. It's not about me. It's about him. You want to find confidence this week? Don't try to be in charge. Be second in command. Allow him to be the one who is in charge. John chapter 15, verse 5, another verse that we quote around here a lot. Jesus said, without me you can do. What do you think he really meant? He meant what he said. Don't excuse it away. Don't end up saying, well, I think he really meant this, he meant that. He meant what he said. We need him. Joshua was an experienced soldier. We can read that through in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. Yet Moses, who had trained him for leadership, did not mean he would be a success. He needed God to go with him. Joshua is standing in heathen territory, if you will. Yet because God was with him, what does he say here in this last verse? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is what? Holy. We live in a world that talks about things that are secular and things that are sacred and things that are common and things that are consecrated. But we learn in the Bible this phrase, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. For a follower of Jesus Christ, he's not here uniquely because we're in this building that's spelled C-H-U-R-C-H. He's with us, isn't he? The verse that I quote all the time from Hebrews, Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us in the midst of all that would go on. And therefore, he ends up saying, where you're standing is holy ground. See, I know people that end up going to church and they look so holy. And they walk out of church and they seem so worldly. Because they're not in church anymore. What? Is God not with you when you're not inside this structure or something? And we realize the truth, the profound truth. This God is with us wherever we are. And therefore, holiness is not geographical. Holiness is a commitment of our life wherever we are and whatever we do. And God's people said, it's important. This is a point you got to get. The Lord is looking for us to be serving him and understanding this truth. You guys know the name Hudson Taylor? Hudson Taylor served as a missionary many, many years ago. He was the founder of China Inland Mission, later became Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He was in a meeting with a small group of missionaries, and he reminded them that there are three ways to do God's work. Number one, make the best plans we can and carry them out to the best of our ability. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Please don't do that. But there might be some here that go, hey, that sounded pretty good, didn't it? The second, or having carefully laid out our plans and determined to carry them through, we may ask God to help us and to prosper us in the connection with him. No. Number two. I'm not number one anymore. I'm number two. Or the third is to begin with God, to ask his plans, and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes. Joshua followed the third plan, and that's why God blessed him. Joshua may have been written a long time ago, but there are principles here. You getting them? God is calling his people to not just talk a good game, but to submit themselves and say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I want to be in the center of your will. You've got gifts, you've got abilities. That's great. But don't run down plan number one. You have ideas in your head. You think you know what God wants to have done. I hear you. But don't run down plan number two. Wait and seek Him and be willing to go wherever He wants you to go. It's out of churches like us that God's going to raise up missionaries. If you heard Roger, you heard we are living in days that fewer and fewer people are willing to ask the question and listen for God's answer. We've got our plans. We've got our goals. And we're asking God to bless them. God, give them the rubber stamp. We want your blessings. But who in this room is willing to say, I give myself to you totally. Do with me whatever you will. Join me in prayer. Help us, Lord God. It's so easy for us. The culture is built around being able to do things that make you successful in the eyes of the world. We're not looking at the world right now. We're looking at you. And I pray, God, that you would help us. You've revealed yourself through the beauty of your creation. It's gorgeous, and we thank you for it. You've revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way outside of trusting Him to be our Savior. And you've revealed yourself through the principles that you give us in the Word of God. And you've reminded us, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable. Lessons that we could learn for today out of a book like Joshua? Oh God, thank you for how you are able to take your word and drive it deeply home to us. May you find us willing to be obedient and humbled before you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.